On the new Classical FM, that was the TSO under Mario Bernardi, playing the vocalise by Sergei Rachmaninoff. You're listening to Sunday Night at the TSO here on the new Classical FM. From Thursday, October 24th to Sunday, the 27th, Canadian violinist Timothy Chewy will join the TSO for performances of Max Bruch's First Violin Concerto. Timothy first gained international recognition by winning first prize at the Josef Joachim International Violin Competition in Germany and the second prize at the prestigious Queen Elizabeth International Competition. His performances included appearances with the German Symphony Orchestra Berlin, the Belgian National Orchestra, the Royal Philharmonic, Royal Liverpool Philharmonic, and Vienna's Concertverein, to name a few. Tonight, he joins me on the line to talk about his upcoming run with the TSO. Timothy Chewy, welcome to Sunday Night at the TSO.
Thank you.
It's been a few years. I think we talked last in 2021, and I imagine things have been revving up since then.
Yes, it's been a completely different world in terms of how everything functions. Of course, coming out of COVID and all of that, it really does seem like a completely different decade almost when I last talked to you.
Well, having been so long, we have some get to know you a little better questions. Mm-hmm. Are you ready?
Okay.
I know this is always an unfair question to ask any musician. Who is your favorite composer and why?
I would say right now, I love everything that Mozart wrote. even if it's something that isn't played so much. I was just reviewing some of his Mozart violin and piano sonatas, and there's so many that we don't play as violinists. And I was just listening to some of them. I was like, wow, even though it might not be as strong as some of the others that he wrote, there's a lot of good material in it.
What keeps it so magical for you? I mean, it's such a short life, so much repertoire, but what is the magic of Mozart for you at this point?
I think it's incredible to know, first of all, how he was able to combine both that incredible aria and operatic writing for a violinist that, and also as a violinist, we're bombarded with so many great repertoire by Brahms, by Strauss, and you name it all, those big war horses, but they're so unviolinistic. And somehow Mozart was able to keep the playability of the sonatas, all of his repertoire actually, very violinistic, but yet also much larger than just what's appropriate for the violin.
What's your dream vacation destination?
My dream vacation destination. I would love to go visit Mongolia and Kazakhstan.
Okay. If you could master any other instrument, what would it be?
I'd love to be a singer.
Okay. Yes, I understand that. Have it come directly out of you.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Pizza or pasta?
I say pasta, but I always go for pizza.
That's funny. What's your favorite place in Toronto?
My favorite place in Toronto is probably Toronto Billy Bishop Airport.
Really?
Yes. I find it so unique. There's no real other airport like it. And I'm a huge airline fanatic person. And I really saw that airport grow from basically no operations back in 2005-06 to now being the talk of the town.
Remind the audience a bit about you. Can you recap your career so far?
Okay, I'll try my best without sounding like I'm boasting. Okay, I was born in Victoria, British Columbia in the 90s. And I grew up there until I was about 15 years old. And then I moved to Philadelphia to study at the Curtis Institute of Music. And during that time, it really transformed my perception of classical music from someone that loved doing it and watched a lot of amazing performances on PBS by prodigies like Midori, Sarah Chang, and Zach Perlman, to suddenly being in the thick of incredible musicians of all calibers and all ages of all types of formats as well. So since that, I did a lot of competitions. One of the very first one I won was the OSM. It's now called the Manu V competition in Montreal, where I made my debut with the L'Orchestre Symphonique de Montréal when I was 16. And then from then on, continued onwards to develop some more repertoire, some projects, and then did finally the Hanover Josef Joachim competition in 2018, where I won the first prize. The Verbier Prix Paternal in Switzerland. I won that prize. And then the Queen Elizabeth Competition, second prize in 2019. That launched my international career as a performer. And then in 2021, I graciously took the position as the professor of violin at the University of Ottawa. have since then been continuing both avenues of my musical career together, both as a pedagogue, but also as a performer and someone that creates projects.
I imagine the teaching side of things really enriches your own practice.
It definitely does. And in ways that I never even imagined it to be. Teaching is one thing, but running a studio at an institution is a completely different skill that I had absolutely zero experience with before. And I think if anything, that has really taught me to be efficient in both as a performer, but also to structure kind of just life, I would say, a lot better, to grow up a lot faster. So I would say, yes, it's very enriching in ways that I can see my students grow, but also enriching in the sense of how to understand to run a team and understanding people better.
Now, this isn't your first performance with the TSO. Tell us a bit about your history with our orchestra.
Yeah, this is my fourth, I would say, collaboration with the TSO. But very first one was back in 2018. And it was a really fun concert. It was the Vivaldi Four Season where I performed with Rob Capello. It was one of his What Makes It Great series. That was such a great success, two completely sold out concerts. And I love working with the TSO, Jonathan Crow, the concertmaster. He grew up with me in Victoria. We studied with the same teacher as well. So it really felt like revisiting part of my past childhood. And the second time around was in 2021, where I performed Tchaikovsky's Violin Concerto during the kind of just the first opening of COVID. November 2021, it was that little window of 1 week where suddenly you could have 75% capacity of the audiences. And we did four shows with Peter Ungen and no intermission. And that was a really great experience as well. And then the third time was just actually this past February. I performed at the Lunar New Year concert with the TSO. Very exciting. It's part of something I grew up with a lot internally as a family household. But to actually hold a concert and represent and see a completely different demographic of audience, it was very, very creative and humbling experience. And so this will be my fourth time to perform with the TSO with Gianandrea Nozeda, Maestro Nozeda, Brooks Violin Concerto in October.
The Brooks Violin Concerto that you are going to play, it is one of the mainstays of the violin repertoire. What's your own personal history with this work?
So I learned this piece when I was very young. I would say around 11 years old. And it was one of the very first romantic violin concertos that I ever performed. And I remember just being awed at the first major tutti in the first movement.
And right, the big orchestral introduction?
Yeah. Well, no, actually the very first big tutti, the climax.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I love the buildup before that. And I remember that I was so excited to bring the first edition of my performance into my seventh grade school class show and tell. So I played that.
Oh, wow.
And I just remember it was suddenly all these double stops and arpeggios that just seemed so cool. And I remember the faces of my schoolmates, which were my audiences at the time, and just being like, dude, how do you do that? That's so cool. And so that was my first experience of playing Brooks Violin Concerto. I heard many recordings. Since then, I didn't touch it for about a good 10 years. And then I picked it up around 22. I was asked to play a concert in Oakville, actually, not very far from Toronto, to play this piece. And part of me was just like, I don't know if this piece is for me anymore. I picked it up slowly and slowly, and it still wasn't for me. And I think something really snapped when I put it together with my rehearsal pianist for the first time. And because it's such a violinistic piece and it has such great efficiency of how the piece is written, really showed me how fantastically well composed this piece is. So since then, I played a lot. I played it in a competition around that age as well. And just seeing how incredibly succinct this piece is really just gave me a different light of how violin concertos rank, in my opinion, of playability and also effectiveness. I've played it since with many debuts across the world, and I'm just super excited to play this with TSO and Maestro Nozeda.
So talk to me about working with Gianandrea Nozeda, who is guest conducting this concert. Have you worked with him before?
I've worked with him not in this context before as a performer and as a violinist and conductor. I first met him in 2018 in Switzerland when we were at the Verbi Festival together. And it was truly just as colleagues. We were backstage. I was about to receive my prize and he congratulated me like a really nice comrade. And that was my first introduction to Maestro Nozeda. And since then, I played for him. We worked on the Korngold Violin Concerto together, just between conductor and soloist, and also some of the Tchaikovsky Concerto. He's a real violin enthusiast. So we spent a lot of time talking about the violins that I was playing on, as he himself is a great enthusiast, as I mentioned before, with rare instruments. And since then, we've just been in very loose contacts, I would say. But this will be our first time collaborating as a performer and conductor.
And amazing that's happening right here in Toronto. So that's great for Toronto audiences to get to bear witness to.
Exactly.
I wanted to talk about your instruments because mm-hmm. I know you have two mouth-watering violins at your disposal, the Titan Guarneri del Gesù and the Engelmann Stradivarius. Which one will you be using for this performance?
Actually, I got three now.
Three?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
At the University of Ottawa, and I need to share this as well because it's very exciting. We have a Landolfi violin now that is on loan to me because of my position here at the University of Ottawa. So part of that is to use that instrument as well, especially while I'm performing here in Ottawa, and for students as well, just to experience that beautiful instrument that was donated to the school. But okay, so which one am I going to play on? I'm still deciding, honestly. They're both fantastic instruments. They're so different in qualities, I would have to say, and actually not in ways that most people would stereotype these instruments to be. They're both lovely, though. I think... part of me wants to say you'll have to see, but I'm leaning towards the Stradivarius right now.
Okay, and you say they're both very different. If you could give them a nutshell characteristic or character, mm-hmm. how would you define each one?
Okay, I would say the Guarneri del Gesù is a beast that is full of colors, clarity, and focused sound. It has a very penetrating sound. I wouldn't say it's particularly a large sound, but it's very focused and there's a lot of colors that can be produced from that instrument. The Stradivarius is a dragon. It roars like no other. It's got a very dark quality. It's very rare for a Stradivarius to have a dark depth to it. It is a ginormous sound. And it's very rare also for a Stradivarius to have that because usually it's the opposite with the Del Gesù. But I would say the Stradivarius is a dragon. That's the best way I can describe it. It takes over the entire stage when it's being played at its best. It's a huge instrument. It's a little bit larger than I would say the standard size of a violin. It's extremely flat, I would say, for a violin as well. It's extremely ornate. It's a golden color. So it's a beautiful instrument.
Well, it sounds like just the thing for that favorite part that you talked about in the first movement.
I'm thinking about the concert hall because Roy Thomason is quite large. To have something that's more like canon, I think might be a better fit.
Well, whatever you decide, I'm sure the performances are going to be phenomenal. Timothy Chewy, thank you so much for joining us, and all the best.
Thank you. I look forward to seeing everybody in just a couple of weeks.
That was Canadian violin virtuoso Timothy Chewy. His performances of Max Bruch's Violin Concerto No. 1 take place October 24th to 27th as part of the Rachmaninoff Symphony No. 2 program. You can find out more at tso.ca. Well, to hear that exciting build-up in the first movement he talked about, you'll simply have to go to the concert. But to entice you, here is the wonderful finale.